worship. Our 1035 worship can also be found on KVOE Radio or live stream. Emporia First United Methodist Church invites you to join us in sharing the love of Jesus Christ.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Good morning, 821, 41 degrees.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And as we continue our Monday morning show, we're pleased to have with us on the KVOE Sutherland studio line, Jeff Longbine, 17th District State Senator here from Emporia.
Senator, good morning. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. How about yourself today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. I wish that more spring-like weather would arrive. This is the time of year where I'm hoping for summer, and right now I'm just hoping to get out of winter.
Yeah, no kidding. The winter-like feel on Easter Sunday, that is for sure. Well, plenty going on, even though we're kind of out of the regular legislative session at the Capitol in Topeka. We, get primed now for the veto session, which begins next week. And you've went through a lot of stuff here so far, Senator, and we got a lot to touch on, but I guess let's maybe look at some recent activities. The signing of our governor of a multi-million dollar bipartisan tax cut bill, highlighted by, we can say, a substantial property tax cut for homeowners. Let's talk about the budget. First, your take on that.
Well, the tax bill that was passed was one of two that were considered, and then there'll be a third one in omnibus. This was kind of a bill that had a lot of components to it. There was certainly some tax relief in it for property tax owners. On the 20 mil statewide school levy, there is an exemption for the first $20,000 in property value, and that will be increased to $40,000. But the bill also had a lot of other components to it, such as, not a lot of them are widespread statewide things that people are going to understand or care about, but there was some zoo and agri-tourism land classifications. There was property tax proration if you sell personal property throughout the year. There was some aid to agricultural people who lost fencing and other ag-related property in the wildfires. So there was some retirement, a little bit of a retirement savings on pass-through called the SALT Parity Act. So there was about 22 components to that bill, but the one that people will notice first and foremost will be that property tax exemption. It won't make a lot of difference to people, but it's certainly a good start.
I guess, Jeff, what are some of the other components of the budget that maybe you would like to have seen addressed this particular cycle? And you mentioned here a good start. What also may be coming here for tax relief here for residents, maybe not this year, but possibly within the next year or two?
Well, I think when we get back, we had teed up when we kind of abruptly ended the regular session, the Senate's version of the sales tax reduction on food. So that will certainly be considered. The conference committee report was ready to go to the Senate floor. It reduces reduces immediately the sales tax on food, and then over the next 3 years, based on revenue projections and how the state budget's doing, would eliminate it in year four. So I think that's a very positive tax relief bill that certainly I anticipate will pass. And I'm certain that the governor will sign it. So look forward to working on that when we get back next week. There are, other tax components that are out there that people want, such as not taxing Social Security, not taxing retirement benefits and those type of things. They come with a much higher price tag, so I don't know that they will be considered when we get back in veto session, but certainly could be brought up. But they are pretty expensive, and so we'll have to really evaluate whether it's worth doing that compared to keeping a good, strong ending balance, which our budget at this point does.
You know, Jeff, one of the things about the food sales tax, which you've brought up on several different occasions, I think either when Tegan or I have broached it with you, is really what the definition of food is going to be. So I wanted to ask you about that, but I also wanted to ask if you're really more in favor of a phased out approach here with the food sales tax, or maybe something that's a little bit more abrupt, because I think both of those ideas have been floated.
Chuck, you're exactly right. I mean, the legislature has had trouble defining food. It sounds simple, but there is certainly a difference between prepared food and not prepared food. The bill that we currently have would allow for food that is purchased in unprepared food and prepared food that is purchased in a grocery store setting would be exempt. And so, you know, part of the argument that we had certainly people who were advocating for non-healthy foods or sugary type foods to not be exempt from sales tax. Certainly the restaurant and hospitality industry wanted their food to be exempt. And so the bill that we have at this point is unprepared food at grocery stores, but would also include things like deli items and the rotisserie chickens and those type of things. But it would generally be food that is purchased at the grocery store.
And that does not include, excuse me, just go ahead, Senator.
As far as the timing of it, I've advocated for a phase out over time. I think that's prudent. If we were to completely eliminate sales tax on food, that is about $500 million per year, just straight out of our revenue stream. And so I'm certainly in favor of that elimination, but I would like to have the ability to pause it or stop it if revenues abruptly quit and our revenues go down. It's a whole lot easier to put those stop gaps in than it is to turn around and 2 years from now have to reimpose a sales tax on food. That becomes difficult. So I think it's prudent to kind of evaluate it as we go down with a solid ending date to make sure that we're able to afford it.
Would you be looking at like a 3, 4, 5, then get up to the 6%, Jeff?
It would be over, I believe, the conference committee report that we have to consider when we get back would have it in year 4. It would be completely eliminated.
Okay.
Understood.
So is a convenience store a grocery store? That's kind of the questions we're asking here.
We laugh, but...
Well, I mean, that is part of the difficulties. And I think at this point, if it's unprepared food, then yes, it would be.
Okay. Unprepared food. Well,
okay.
Be interesting to see how that all plays out. You expect movement on this then next week, Jeff?
I do. We had it teed up for consideration at about 1:30 in the morning on that Wednesday evening, and we were set to go to the floor to consider it when the House adjourned, and so we adjourned also, and so I do think it'll be one of the first things we get to when we get back.
You know, one of the things, too, about the budget, which 60th District Representative Mark Schreiber of Emporia had brought up when he was on with us here several days ago was education, and specifically the higher education side, with more money going into Emporia State University and then possibly pulling a little bit of that back here in the following fiscal year.
Well, as far as our budget is concerned, I'm extremely pleased with how our mega budget came out. Some of the highlights in that is it pays down over the next 3 or 4 years $1.2 billion in debt, with about $1 billion of that going to CAPERS. The other is just outstanding general obligation bonds that the state has that maybe are at a little higher rate or have a little age on them that we can afford to do that. Our budget puts more money in for the IDD communities and the mental health efforts across the state. There is a substantial increase for higher ed in there, and there will be another $25 million that could be considered in the veto session, depending on how revenue estimates come out later on this week. It establishes and fills a rainy day fund, and then probably the most important thing is the budget stays black in the out years, which very often we're looking at budgets that are black in 1 and 2 years, but in years 3, 4, and 5, turn red, and it's kind of the cycle, and it's an adjustment that has, normal budgetary adjustment has to be made. But even with the increased spending for those important programs, the budget stays black through the out years. And so I would say in my 12 years, it's probably the best budget I've been able to vote for.
You just answered my next question. Yeah, best budget you've seen in your dozen years. I think that speaks volumes. So things budgetarily are certainly looking bright. Again, we're talking with Senator Jeff Longbine on our Newsmaker 2 segment here this morning. It is 8:31, 40 degrees. We certainly appreciate the senator's time, as always, as the veto session is set to wrap things up for this year, beginning next week. Again, recent developments, Senator. The governor was vetoing on Friday, Good Friday. Can you talk about the work requirements for able-bodied Kansans receiving food stamps? Can you give us some insight into that that bill?
Sure. We have had those that are receiving assistance that are able-bodied. We've had a voluntary job training program for those that work less than 30 hours per week. And the bill would make that voluntary program a mandatory program to make sure that those that are receiving that assistance after a certain period of time, I believe it was 20 weeks, they would be required to go through a mandatory job training and application training program. We certainly, with unemployment the way it is today, and every employer screaming for employees, we certainly want everyone that is able to work to be able to work and to have a job. And so that was the thought premises behind it. I certainly am understanding of both sides of it. There are people who are unable to work. There are people who have children that, quite honestly, daycare is more expensive than they have the ability to make. And so there are certain circumstances that the governor did veto it. I don't anticipate the ability to override that, so we'll probably stay with that voluntary program going forward.
Are you in favor of the voluntary program or not?
I was in favor of both. I voted for the bill. I do, you know, and every time I talk to, whether it be small business or large business, everyone needs employees. And so those that, you know, are able to work and willing to work, but maybe need some training, I'm certainly in favor of trying to get them that training. It could be training on a new position. It could be a career change, whatever it is, but we certainly need more people in the workforce. And so I did support both of those measures.
Again, 17th District Senator Jeff Longbine of Emporia joining us here as the KVOE Morning Show continues. You know, a couple of, you know, really, I guess, maybe hot-button topics that the governor signed against, you could say, or vetoed, was the transgender sports bill and also the Parents' Bill of Rights when it comes to education.
Yes, she did veto both of those. I think those were both expected. The women in sports transgender bill she had vetoed last year. There were no substantial changes to the bill this year, and so certainly anticipated her doing that. The House was quite a few votes shy of being veto-proof, so it'll be up to House leadership on whether we attempt to override that, but I don't think they can. I don't think they can get the votes. The Parents' Bill of Rights was really intrusive on our K-12 administrators and particularly teachers in what they would have to disclose and lesson plans. And you know, certainly not a matter that I don't support parents being involved in education or knowing what their children are being taught. But I haven't had a single constituent complained to me that schools were not being upfront and honest and that they didn't have the ability to talk to their child's teacher or administrator or building principal. And so I really didn't feel like it was necessary. It was intrusive. It would require a tremendous amount of work on our teachers to be able to post their lesson plans on websites each day and put all of the material, class material, on websites so that parents could review it each day. And I think it created a tremendous amount of work for our educators that was really unnecessary. And so I didn't support that, and I did anticipate that the governor would veto that, and she did. So not surprised at that at all.
So I would assume you're probably been getting a lot of blowback from educators on that Parents' Bill of Rights then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard from a tremendous amount of number of educators who were concerned about, you know, taking their time away from teaching and working with students to post all of their information and on a website and what have you. And I do think it takes time away from educating teachers. I certainly want transparency in our education system, but I think this was a little over the top.
Senator, I wanted to ask you here, too, kind of, you mentioned here about the big topic, which is coming up with the veto session starting next week, the food sales tax, but there's other stuff that's, I think, on the agenda here for you guys when you come back next week. What else do you think you'll be able to address here in veto session?
Well, the biggest item will be our annual omnibus budget bill, and so our revenue estimators will meet later on this week, and they'll provide us with a new revenue estimate going forward. I do anticipate it'll be up because we have continued to exceed our revenues each month. So we will have to match that with our mega budget that we passed last year, and that will maybe give us an opportunity to either pay down additional debt, increase our ending balance, or increase spending in targeted areas. As an example, there's another $25 million out proposal for higher ed that I would certainly like to see pass. So there'll be some opportunities to look at our omnibus budget and see what adjustments need to be made. Not big bill, but sports wagering is teed up and somewhat ready to go, so I do anticipate a vote on that during the veto session. Medical cannabis is something that has passed the House. The Senate version has had a couple of hearings. I think there's a tremendous amount of work left on that bill, but there's a possibility we could look at it during the veto session. I would probably prefer to continue to work on it over the summer and then have it ready to go for next session, but we'll see what happens with that. So there are a number of measures that could be considered during veto, but I think those are the big ones.
You mentioned sports wagering, Senator, and there's still, I assume, a lot of jockeying going on as far as who would be players in this game and who would be able to, you know, basically house some sports gambling. Are we even close to being able to yay or nay that?
We are. The conference committee in regular session, kind of in that last 10 days, put together a conference committee report. I think it's ready to be voted on when we come back. And so I do anticipate that we'll have a vote. I anticipate it'll pass, but you never really know. So I do think sports wagering is something that's on the table and probably ready to go. There's a lot of work to be done after legislation passed as far as how rules and regs and processes and procedures will be written by the agencies. But I think we're to the point where it's ready for a vote.
So, yeah, we'll be the casinos, we'll be the Kansas Lottery involved, we'll be a mixture of both. And so, yeah, still a lot to probably look at there. Geography, Senator, has been a player in this year's legislative session. Redistricting is finished. And you have new boundaries. Let's talk about what will differ for your territory as we head into the summer and fall.
Yeah, the governor last week did sign the Senate, House, and State Board of Education maps, and so there will be a court review of those. I don't anticipate any court changes because they were pretty well bipartisan with the governor's signature, so there's probably not a lot of controversy in them. My district will change a little bit. Currently, I have the western part of Waubunsee County, and I have kind of the western half of Wamego and St. George and Pottawatomie County. I will be losing those and trading those basically for all of Morris County. And so my Senate district will be all of Lyon County, all of Morris County, and geography-wise, about 75% of Gary County, including all of Junction City and most of Fort Riley.
Really doesn't sound like, well, obviously, you know, shifting counties, but you're already heading north for a lot of your coverage and dealing with constituents already. So, if memory serves me correctly, we had a chance to talk about a month and a half ago with this on the table, and this is kind of something you anticipated and really don't mind too much of the shift.
No, I don't mind it at all. I mean, I hate to lose the connections and the people of Waubunsee and Pottawatomie County, but the reality of it is about 95% of my entire Senate district population was in Gary and Lyon anyway, and so retaining all of that was important to me. Morris County is an area that I've been familiar with. I represented them for the first 2 years that I was in the legislature, and so certainly need to reestablish some connections in Morris County as things have changed over the last 10 years, but looking forward to representing that group of constituents also.
Well, a few fewer miles for you, possibly, huh?
Well, hopefully. You know, it's been strange because previous, in my current district, I have to drive through, if I'm going to Gary County, I have to drive through another Senate district to get there. And if I were going to the northeast part of my district with Waubunsee or Pottawatomie County, I had to drive through a different senator's district to get there. So I've always told people that my district is contiguous, but for me to drive it and stay in my own district, I'd have to have some farmers open some gates.
Well said. Jeff, before we let you go, it sounds like there's a lot of things that you found fruitful here with this particular legislative session. What is your overall assessment here of the session getting into the veto portion of things next week?
Well, my first time of going through redistricting was so difficult and so controversial. We ran clear into June, that session, because we didn't have the ability to pass maps, and that was 10 years ago when actually the legislature did not pass redistricting maps, and the court had to draw them, and so I'm pleased with the success of that, and the fact that we were able to accomplish so much in a redistricting year, along with passing what we needed to redistricting-wise. Is enough to fill an entire session. And we were able to accomplish that, but we also did a number of other things throughout the session. But between redistricting and passing what I think is one of the best budgets that I've ever had the opportunity to vote on are two huge accomplishments. And so when you look at the other bills that were passed, they're not important to everybody, but they're certainly important to somebody. Makes for a pretty successful regular session.
I know that, you know, you'd been in support of, you know, supporting mental health, which has been a big issue, you know, here and not only here, but basically countrywide. You happy with the way that was addressed for what you could do this session, Jeff?
I am pleased with the additional programming and funding that the budget provides. I think we still have a long way to go. And I don't think it's something that even if we put all the money forward today, I don't think we could fix it just with money. We still have problems at our two state institutions, mental hospitals, as far as capacity and overcrowding and lack of people to work there. And so we do still have some challenges, but I'm pleased with the slight amount of progress that we've been able to make.
Sounds good.
And you will be running for re-election coming up in the fall?
No, I've got two more years before my term is up. So, got a long way to go.
Two more years.
There's
been some people... we always bring this up, but there's been a couple of people who have asked whether you're at some point in time maybe going to put your hat in the ring for governor. Obviously, it's a little too early to say that, but is that something that would ever be under consideration for you?
You know, Chuck, I have a lot of respect for that office, and I have a lot of respect for the people who are in it, but I think that's maybe the worst job in the state of Kansas. It is literally 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They don't make much money. Our gubernatorial pay is horrible. I don't know what I would do with my business obligation if I was in Topeka 24 hours a day, and I've kidded my wife. I'm not real excited about having a highway patrolman at my hip 24 hours a day either, providing security. And so, I'm pretty happy with the way things are going now, where I get to serve in the legislature, but I also get to stay involved with my business and my community. And, you know, hopefully at some point Gwen and I might have grandkids, and certainly want to be involved with them. So, not sure that governor is something that I'm overly excited about.
All right, sounds good. Well, Senator, thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for the updates here across the board with what's taken place and what's to come. And best of luck as you get launched up into that veto session starting next week.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this morning, and looking forward to going back to work on Monday.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Senator Jeff Longbine joining us here this morning on our Newsmaker 2, our 17th District State Senator Jeff Longbine, KVOE Live. And local, what's up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we have the monthly Emporia Showcase with USD 253 Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder. So that'll be at 8:20. That'll push the Newsmaker 2 segment to 8:40. We'll be joined by Family Promise Director Jessica Corpening with an upcoming Giving Tuesday fundraiser. And here later this week, we'll jump back to the legislature with updates coming Wednesday. We'll have 51st District Representative Ron Hyland at 8:20. And then Thursday morning, we'll have 76th District Representative Eric Smith, both with their perspectives on the legislative session so far.
Thanks, Chuck. KVOE Live and local. It is 8:48, cloud cover and 41 degrees. Good morning.
Get the best treatment for your car with the highest car wash technology on the market today at Mr. G's Express Car Wash.